On Thursday, the Toronto Symphony Orchestra makes its way to the Carloo for a new annual fundraising event in support of the TSO's transformative music education, training, and mentorship programs. It's called Evening Epic, and the event will be full of food, drink, and musical surprises featuring TSO musicians as well as DJ Sandy Duperval, who will keep the music going throughout the night. In particular, the evening will feature a first ever collaboration between the TSO and the 2018 Polaris Music Prize winner and recent Juno Award winner, tenor Jeremy Dutcher. He burst onto the scene last year with his album, Olestoyik Lintuaganawa. The creation of this album involved extensive research of archival wax cylinder recordings of traditional songs at the Canadian Museum of Civil, which Dutcher has turned into a highly original, moving, and contemporary transmission of his nearly extinct culture. I'm joined now by Jeremy Dutcher and by TSO CEO Matthew Loden to talk about Evening Epic. Matthew Loden, welcome back to the show. It's great to see you again.
Wonderful and, to be here.
And Jeremy Dutcher, welcome.
First timer.
Great to have
you. I'm so excited.
The new guy.
So
there's going to be a collaboration between Jeremy and the TSO. How did this come about?
It came about because Jeremy has been making waves for quite some time, in particular since he won the Polaris Prize, and really came to the orchestra's attention as someone who was doing some really extraordinary things, even outside of the context of just Indigenous music. He's an incredible musician, and he brings to bear a lot of the best quality of songwriting and performance, and we felt like if we ever were going to have an alignment with someone to step slightly outside of the traditional box of a symphony orchestra, this would be the guy to hang out with.
Now, Jeremy, I have to ask you, I mean, I know you have a classical background, but as an Indigenous artist and activist with reconciliation on the forefront of what you're doing right now, you're coming together with an orchestra, which is an institution that inescapably is a colonial import. What is your take on this particular meeting?
Yeah, I do see it as an important collaborative moment, one that is, I hope, reshifting how we're thinking about concert halls and space and who the orchestra is for. And I think increasingly the organizations that have their finger on the pulse are realizing that what we think of as capital C classical music is changed and the time for new stories has come. New stories in the way that we're now putting musics in conversation with each other on an equal footing. What are the sounds of an Indigenous orchestra? What does that sound like? This was a question that I wanted to answer in my music. And increasingly, I think arts institutions are also thinking about ways to expand the sonic possibilities of what they want to say. And in doing so, what they do is open up that space for lots of people that have never felt welcomed into a concert hall. And so that's why for me, this is a natural progression in this work and such an exciting collaboration for me. It's to step into that space that is sort of uncharted and to say that we can bring ourselves to the table fully. This whole work is in my language. None of it's translated. And all of the compositionally, the music that I wrote is all rooted within those traditional melodies. Every, you know, shift of key, every change in direction, it's all in there. And when I heard those archival melodies for the first time, you can't help but hear symphonies. You know, even though it's just a monophonic melody, there's music around it. And so for me, it was about shaping that music and bringing it forward. And yeah, thankfully, I've been so fortunate to link up with some people within the sort of capital C classical world that see that same vision, see the possibilities and the generative space that is within the unknown. And that collaboration is unknown, I think, at this time, what it's actually going to sound like or look like.
Well, it sounds like people who come to Evening Epic on April 4th are going to be in for something quite powerful. This is one aspect of it. What else is in store? It's a big evening. It is an epic evening. So, Matthew, tell us what's going to happen.
It is an epic evening for sure on April the 4th. One of the things that we wanted to do was to create an atmosphere where people could come to dinner in support of the Toronto Symphony Orchestra, but in particular in support of our community initiatives. There will be some surprise pop-up performances performances by members of the orchestra. We are also going to have some featured performances from members of the Toronto Symphony Youth Orchestra, which is a really an extraordinary collection of young musicians. And the idea was to mix things up a bit and to put us in a space at the Carlu where we could activate different kinds of musical moments for the people to be both entertained in a different kind of way, but also to Jeremy's point, this is a time in the arts generally when I think there's an obligation to pay attention to where the world is moving and what our roles and responsibilities are in trying to convene conversations of great substance. And music as an art form has always been that language that has allowed disparate people to come together. And the language that we hope to speak on the Evening Epic is one of familiarity for those that are already comfortably imbued in the classical music world. But also one of mysterious surprise because you want it to be fun.
Yeah.
And ultimately, probably at about 10:15 or so that night, we'll turn the evening over to a fantastic DJ. So it's going to be a dance party on top of everything else. So,
expect the unexpected.
Exactly.
Exactly. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Now, this is a fundraiser, as you mentioned, in support of the TSO's educational programs. The TSO is well known for the main stage performances at Roy Thomson Hall, but what are these other aspects of what the TSO is involved in?
Oh, they're far-reaching. We've been in the community for decades. In particular, last year alone, we reached close to 40,000 students with our school programs. And you know, it's one thing to be able to bring students down to Roy Thomson Hall and introduce them to what the palette of a symphony orchestra can actually be. And we're really proud of what we've been able to do with that. But we're also doing things that are, I think, really unique. For instance, we have coming up our first relaxed performance for anyone who might be on the autism spectrum or might actually have a different kind of ability to sit in a concert hall, which is, you know, usually almost a sacred space and everyone is supposed to be quiet and listen. Well, we wanted to say, no, let's create a space where you can come and make whatever kind of noise you want and be a part of the music. And we've already had a really tremendous outpouring of support for that kind of initiative. And that very much falls under the umbrella of what we're doing in education and community connections, which I think is really important for us. So if you want to hear, you know, Schubert and Bruckner and the Western canon, we're really, really happy to provide that. And I think we do it better than anybody else. But we're also really happy to see where we can be of service in the GTA.
Jeremy, what are you most looking forward to at Evening Epic?
For me to hear my own music and the music of my ancestors, my people, paired with one of the best orchestras in this country, is such a high honor and privilege. To be honest, I'm really stoked for, like, to be a part of an evening that's so invested in education, in thinking about accessibility. This thing that you just mentioned, this open space for autistic audiences, this is incredible. This is what makes it a sacred space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Is to create an inclusive space. And so I'm really excited to lend my voice and to be in conversation with an institution that's doing the work that is recognizes that this kind of music and these kind of spaces have been historically for a certain kind of person. This music can go out and live with people in community. It's what opens the door for people like myself to enter into dialogue with Western art music. So I'm very excited about it all.
Well, it sounds like an evening not to be missed.
Epic.
And it's going to be epic. And you can find out more about it at eveningepic.ca. We are going to hear some music by Jeremy Dutcher now. A tune called Matunit. Can you set this one up for us?
Sure thing. So this song is the first one on my record called Wolustuig Lintuaganoa. And it is that first archive recording that I was able to hear in my research. And you're going to hear that voice of my ancestor from 110 years ago. His name is Jim Paul. And he's going to be singing this song and then gives a little speech at the end. So I always like to speak his name in this process because our ancestors are with us. This song was a starting place for this work. And it's one of my faves. I love it so much.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Jeremy and Matthew. And I very much look forward to Evening Epic, April 4th, people. And now, here is Majinut.